Continuing the series we have been doing, looking at the book of James, and I've called it Practical Christian Living. For those of you who are new, the outline of what I hope to share is in the middle of the bulletin. Today we want to look at the what I've called the power of the tongue. The power of the tongue. I'm going to read from James chapter 1. I'm going to read a couple of passages in James. The first one is James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, and then verses 26 and 27, and then James chapter 3 from verse 2 through to about verse 12. So James chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." Verse 26 of James chapter 1. "If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion to our God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." James chapter 3 and verse 2. "For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is not at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large, they are driven by strong winds. They are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water come from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." Father, we pray you might speak to us. You might minister to us. You might glorify yourself even through the ministry of your word this morning. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Those are some. One of the things about the book of James is a very black and white person. He's a very practical person. And unlike people like Paul goes into a lot of theology. As we mentioned before, if you read Galatians, Paul is talking about the free woman and the bond woman, and you know, we are of the free woman, and it's a lot of theology. James is not into a lot of theology. James is just plain. James says, we're all stumbling in a way, in all ways, and if you can't control your tongue, then you're going to create problems. But the man who doesn't stumble at all in whatever he says, that's a perfect person. So is there anybody here who has never said something, and after you have said it, you wish you didn't? Yeah. That's right. You see? The person who is not able to articulate clearly. But I'm sure she has communicated otherwise. Oh, yeah. So all of us can identify with what James is saying, that this tongue of ours, there are times when we just wish we could have just, you know, rewind what we said and just cut out that part. But alas, sometimes a little bit too late. And he says, basically, as a word of comfort to me, I don't know about to you, that don't worry, we all stumble in that way, and we can grow and grow, and the less of the things you say that are not supposed to be said is the more you can actually assess how you're growing in the Lord. So, I want to talk a little bit first about wisdom before talking about the negative and positive power of the tongue. Because, you know, James encourages us to be quick to listen and slow to speak. And it is wisdom, really, to be quick to listen. I think it was my mother, I suspect it was her, who said that's why God gave you two ears and one mouth. You should listen more than just speak, at least twice as much. But James is saying we should be quick to listen. And the listening here is not just having words pass by our ears or bounce off our ears or go through one ear and come through the other. It's really listening with a intent to understand. And so he's saying each one of us should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Really, you know, many of us have been in a situation where certain things were asked of you or certain things occurred and afterwards you thought, oh, I should have said this. And many of us have been there. But really, that's a better position to be in than the situation where you said something where you shouldn't have. Because you can't take that back. While perhaps another opportunity might come where you can actually say something that you really should have said. And so he's saying we need to be slow to speak. Listen before you answer. The writer of Proverbs 18 and verse 3 says, he who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. I gave you a little sheet like this in the bulletin. And we're going to look at it shortly. It's some scriptures that come from the book of Proverbs, primarily about the fool and his mouth. So Proverbs 18 verse 13 says, you answer before listening, that is his folly and his shame. And many of us, again, have been in situations where you realize that people aren't listening to you. They're just trying to wait until you finish say what you have to say before they say something else. Sometimes they don't even wait until they finish. While they're speaking, they start their rebuttal. And James is saying Proverbs is saying that is folly. That is foolishness to respond to something before you actually have heard what is being said. So we need to listen before we answer. James says that the tongue can be dangerous. So the writer of Proverbs, verse 12 and verse 18 says, reckless words pierce like a sword. And we all know that. We have been hurt that way, and unfortunately, different ones of us have done that to others. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So the writer of Proverbs is not saying don't speak, but he's saying the wise person knows when to speak and what to say, so it brings healing and not brings hurt and destruction. James says, the man who cannot keep a tight rein on his tongue, that's James 1 verse 26, his religion or his faith, because when he says religion here, he's not talking about religion as we talk about religion today, he's talking about his faith, his relationship with God is worthless. If you can't control your tongue, then he's saying that whatever else you say about God and your relationship with God means nothing. So it really then is an indication of where we are at in our walk with God. So the person says, well, I'm just blunt, and you blurt out things that create problems. It's an indication of where you are at in your walk with God. And this communication, as we all know, even though it speaks primarily of words, includes what we talk about in terms of non-verbal communication. In other words, you can say something, but your mannerisms of such, you communicate something different. And that also creates problems. Because then people can realize, oh, you're just being sarcastic and you're actually putting me down. But being quick to listen and to understand can be a sign of wisdom. Proverbs 10, verse 19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. In the book of Proverbs, we find different personalities, different characters. This is one way to help you to study the book. I mean, the main person who overrules everything is God. And so it tells you about what God likes and what he, you know, six things he doesn't like and seven, which is an abomination. So it tells you, first and foremost, about what God likes. But it also tells you about different characters. It tells you about parents and children or son. It tells you, for example, that children, that there's something bound up in the heart of a child. Anybody knows a proverb? What is bound up in the heart of a child?
Foolishness.
So don't listen to the world who tell you that just allow the child to just grow and figure out his or her path. The Bible says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it out. And the important focus there is upon the correction, not just upon the rod. It's upon correction. So correction will help that child to drive out foolishness out of the heart of a child. So it tells you about parents and their responsibility. It tells you about children. It tells you about the rich person. Tells you about the poor person. It tells you about the adulteress and the naive individual. It tells you about the king and the servant. It tells you about the wise man and the fool. So if you want to study the book of Proverbs, you can just put all the scriptures that relate, let's say, to the wise man together, and you get a picture being painted. I just trace through the book. And that's a great way to study the book of Proverbs. So what I've done, I've taken some of the verses that pertain to the fool and to speaking. Not all of them, just some. And I'm going to read them for us so we can get a picture. But before we read them, please turn to your neighbor and say this. Thank God you're not a fool. Turn to somebody and say, thank God you're not a fool. Amen. So when we read the scriptures, we're not talking about anybody who's here. Okay? There are no fools here. So please don't take it personal. It's not about you. I just want us to understand. So when we meet these people in life, we know where they're coming from. So you have your sheet there so you can follow with me. Some scriptures, some proverbs about the fool. This is the NIV version. Proverbs 10 verse 8 says, and I'm just going to read the ones that I highlighted because there are so many. And these are some of them. Proverbs 10 verse 8 says, the wise in heart accepts commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. You know, the person who just talks comes to ruin. A chattering fool comes to ruin. Proverbs 10 and verse 14. Wise men store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin. Proverbs 10, verse 19. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. So when you find a fool, you just, no matter what you say, they are bent on doing their own thing because they think they are right. But a wise person will sit back and listen and take advice. Verse 16 of Proverbs 12. A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. Proverbs 12, 18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So it's a fool who speaks reckless words. Proverbs 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. It just comes forth. Whoosh, folly. Proverbs 17, verse 12. Better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool in his folly. Whoa. This is the one that many of us have heard. I heard it in a negative way when I was being raised up. The negative way, which is, before I read the scripture, says, better to be quiet and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. That's not what Proverbs says, that's another saying. Proverbs puts it in a very positive way. The writer of Proverbs says, even a fool is thought to be wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. So that's positive. So even a fool looks like they're wise when they keep quiet. Proverbs 18, verse 2. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in hearing his own opinions. Have you met some of those people? Proverbs 18, verse 13. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. Turn over to the back. Proverbs 19, verse 1. Better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a fool whose lips are perverse. Proverbs 23, verse 9. Do not speak to a fool, for he will scorn the wisdom of your words. Again, many of you have found some of those people. Proverbs 26, verse 4. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you'll be just like him yourself. Proverbs 26 and verse 6. Like cutting off one's feet or drinking violence is sending off a message by the hand of a fool. So if you have something to send to somebody, don't send it by a fool, because the fool is going to add to it and just creates problems for you. Proverbs 26 verse 7. Like a lame man's legs that hang limp is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Has no use. Proverbs 27 verse 22. This one is sort of rough. Proverbs 27, 22 says, though you grind a fool in mortar, grind him like grain with pestle, you will not remove his folly from him. Don't waste your time, in other words. Ooh. Proverbs 29, verse 20. Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Proverbs 30 and verse 32. If you have played the fool and exalted yourself, or if you have planned evil, clasp your hand over your mouth. Be quiet. Those are just some of the verses, as I said, from Proverbs that talk about the fool and his mouth. And what I've put here, just some, there are more, because the writer of Proverbs wants the fool to understand what the fool looks like. But you can see where James is coming from, where James says, you should be slow to speak and be quick to listen. Because in the abundance of words, you create problems, and you can actually end up becoming a fool by the many things you say because you haven't even listened. You don't even know what the person said and you're responding. The person might have been talking about the color of the carpet and you're responding about the color of the ceiling. And you should just appear to be a fool. So James says, listen, be quick to listen and be slow to speak. Let's just talk a little bit about the negative power of the tongue. James says that we all stumble in different ways. And one of the main areas in which all of us stumble is with the tongue. We all have said things that we shouldn't have said. And we can understand that. This is one of the main areas of stumbling. It's one of the negative aspects of the tongue. He says, as I mentioned this before, that our speech can reveal our level of maturity when you learn to hold your tongue and to say the right thing at the right time. Because not because you have the right thing to say, it might not necessarily be the right occasion. So being able to know the right time to say the right thing. The tongue, he says, is small. He talks about a rudder of a ship. And I've been on some of those huge ships. Like they have the Logos, one of these ships that are used for missions. And some of these ships, even if you've been on a cruise, it's like a little city. And he's saying a small little rudder is what steers it. In the same way, saying our tongue is a small little member of our body, but that tongue can actually steer the course of our lives. It can determine, I put here, the direction of our lives. Basically, what we say actually determines the direction we're going to go. So if you keep confessing negative things, that's the direction you're going to go. If you keep calling yourself a failure and a loser, then that's the direction you're going to end up going. You see? And if you look at all of the people who are supposedly successful, you'll find that many of them will always be declaring the things that they're going to do. Because we end up going in the direction of whatever we say, whatever we proclaim. So if you want to have success, start by confessing the truth of God's word about yourself. Start by confessing where you want to end up in life, what you want to do for the purposes of God. And those things, you'll be drawn towards it. But the tongue can determine the direction of a person's life. It can inspire or provoke people to evil. You remember the saying that they have, sticks and stones may break my bones, but your words can never harm me. How many know that is not true? It's not true if you keep on being insulted, keep on being put down, keep on being abused verbally, it sinks in and can affect you. Same way if I do that to somebody, it can affect them. You know, if I was to have done that to my children, it would have affected them. So our words can sink deeper. Sometimes it's better for you to actually get a physical blow. At least that will heal quickly over time than some of the things that people say and the way people put people down. And so James is saying that we can provoke people to do evil. We can put people down. We can destroy them. He says the tongue is like a fire that can set on course and burn up an entire forest. Can create problems. He says a tongue can actually defile us, defile our entire being. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when people hear what you have to say, they don't even want to be around you. And many of you have been there. You've heard some people, there's so much profanity coming out of their mouth. You don't even want to be around them. Being in their presence, you already feel defiled, much less they being defiled. Or tongue. Those are some of the negative things about the tongue. They can destroy our own lives or the lives of others. And the unfortunate thing is that if we are not careful, our tongue can be used by the devil. James says it is set on fire by hell itself. In other words, the enemy understands the power of the tongue. And so he tries to get us to say the things that he wants to have said. Because the devil by himself is not going to just come out and just speak. He needs to find some vessel, some person. And so he's going to try and find individuals who can express what he wants to have expressed and create all sorts of problems. I think it's just part of what happened to Peter when Jesus was saying that I have to go to the cross. And Peter was like, don't talk like that. The Messiah has not come to suffer. And Christ looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. I think part of what Christ was saying is that what you're saying, Peter, you're being influenced by the thoughts of the devil. And so knowing that, that's another reason why you and I should be slow to speak. We need to discern, is this something that God wants me to say? Is this something that is going to be edifying? Is this something that is going to be positive? Or do I just, any thought that comes into my mind, I just blurt it out? So the enemy knows, well, there is a gushing fool. Let me put some words in his or her mouth and create some problems. It's better to walk away than to say things that shouldn't be said. So James goes on to say, humans can tame all sort of animals. They have done that. Some people don't like it, and so they demonstrate, and so they know some of the circuses have to close down because people have tamed elephants and people don't like it. Big animal like that. Humans have been able to tame all sort of animals, the seal, the lion, and others. But they have not found a formula yet to tame the tongue. They have not found a bestseller yet to tame the tongue. That's what James is saying. So the hope for you and for me then is to allow, I believe, the Spirit of God to tame our tongue. Humans can't do it, but I believe God can do it if we'll yield ourselves to Him. With our tongue, he says that we praise God, and with our tongue we pronounce curses upon people. So if you don't believe in curses, James seems to believe in it. He's saying that with our tongues we curse people. We pronounce negative things upon them, and those things come to pass. And he's saying that ought not to be. He's not saying that what happens is God's standard. He's saying, no, that ought not to be. You and I, we, because we are children of the Most High God, we, as Christ said, we should use our tongue to bless. So if somebody hurts you, persecute you, speak badly against you, Christ's response is that bless them. Bless those who persecute you. Pray for them. Because as we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, He will enable us to speak the things which are positive, the things which will bring forth fruit in the lives of people, positive fruit. And it's very, very important. Those of you who are around children, your children or your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews, to speak positive things. Sometimes children are just being children. You know, some of the boys are hyperactive. Well, don't call them devil. Say, you little devil. Don't pronounce that upon a child. But you say, why don't you go outside and run off some of that energy? You understand what I'm saying? And you're very energetic. But don't call them devil. Don't call them mischievous. Don't call them, don't curse them. Say you're just like, like your father in some negative way. And then when they grow up and end up being not functioning the way you wanted to function, you wonder where you went wrong. Well, you curse them from the word child. Speak positive things that will bring forth fruit into their lives. Let them know you will be a success. You will not be a failure. You will be the head and not the tail. The blessings of God will follow you and overtake you. You will have an impact upon your generation. Pronounce the things that are consistent with God's desire for the child rather than speak negative things into their life. You will come to nothing. You're not going to be successful. You're a fool. You're a dummy. That's what the devil wants us to say. And to destroy the people who are around us rather than to release a blessing into their lives. Amen. And so it really is a privilege that you and I have when we interact around people to be able to speak things that are positive out of our lips, to impact them. And I believe that even though James mentioned the negative here, I believe the positive is also true, that we can pronounce things that can direct a child's life towards the positive. You will be successful. My children will tell you from they were young, we kept telling them, listen, you are going to be successful. You are going to go to college. And even my son was thinking, no, we said, no, you're going to go to college. You're going to be successful. Because college is nothing. College is like grade 13. I mean, I teach at OTC and I'm thinking some of those kids are still in grade 10. It's true. They don't even know how to do homework. And they're in college. But to pronounce things that are positive into the life of people around us. Let people want to be around you, because when I'm around Joe Cameron, I'm just so encouraged. How is your day? My day is great. Why? Because I serve a great, big, wonderful God. But I just stumbled and hurt my ankle. Yeah, that's minor compared to how good my God is. Proclaim the good things about God. And you know what? People enjoy being around us. Nobody likes to be around people who are just negative. Unless they are negative themselves. They say that misery likes company. Well, all the miserable people can go together. I don't want to be around the miserable people. I want to be around those who are positive. Those who have a positive outlook upon life. Those who declare the truth about who God is. So he says that we can pronounce curses and we can bless people. And I put here, sir, curses can be things we pronounce upon ourselves, or what people say into our lives who are in authority over us. So people say to themselves, I'm going to come to no good. See, I failed this exam. I'm a failure. I knew my mother was right. I knew my brother was right. I'm no good. And we can pronounce curses upon ourselves. I want to encourage us to speak good things about yourself, because God speaks good things about each one of us. So if you don't know what to say about yourself, just say what God says. You might not believe it, but it's all right. The Bible says it, so I'm going to proclaim it. Proclaim it until you start to believe it. So if God says you're going to be a success, then declare that over your life. I'm going to be the head and not the tail. I'm going to be above and not beneath. I'm going to have to be able to lend to others and have no need to borrow. But I'm in debt. I don't care. God says that I'm going to have to give and have no need to borrow. I'm coming out of debt. I'm not going into debt. To proclaim over your own life the positive things of God's word. And see if your life doesn't change. See if your attitude doesn't change. See if the outlook on things doesn't change. So James says it's a contradiction to actually worship God and to speak negatively. To be declaring how good God is. To sing in all of these songs of glory. And then to end up being proclaiming negative things. It's inconsistent. It's a contradiction. And so we need to bring our speech in line with our worship. Bring our declaration, what we say daily, in line with our worship. So let's talk for a little while on the positive power of the tongue. The writer of Proverbs says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Now, Proverbs 18, verse 21. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. In other words, our tongue, through what we say, we can produce life or we can produce death. And the thing is, you and I have a choice. God gives us a choice. So I'd rather proclaim things that produce life in myself and the people around me, rather than things that produce death. I'd rather when people leave my presence, they're encouraged rather than depressed. You see? They hear enough bad news by just listening to the news on television, because all they have there is bad news. So they hear enough bad news, So they don't need me to be repeating to them all the bad news. I need to be encouraging them, saying, but God is good. But God is still in control. But God still has a plan and a purpose for your life and for this nation. But God is a God of miracles. God is a God of turning around negative things and causing good to come from them. They need to leave my presence encouraged rather than discouraged and depressed. The power of life and death are in the tongue. The scripture I have there from Numbers is about the 12 spies. 10 says, Moses, yeah, the place has good fruit and it's flowing with milk and honey, but you know what? Those guys are like giants and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And why have you brought us out here to die in the wilderness? Because we're not going into that land, so we're going to die right here in the wilderness. That's what they proclaim, death. And what did they get? Death. God says, since they want to die there, they're going to die there. Two of them, Caleb and Joshua, says, God is with us and he will take us into the land. Don't be afraid of the people. In other words, he said their protection is already removed from them. And we can see, and we are declaring right now, God is going to cause us to be successful. I mean, 12 of them saw the same circumstances. But 10 looked at it in a negative light, and 2 looked at it in a positive light. And the 2 who saw it in a positive light, who declared that God can bring us through, declared life, and they got what?
Life.
I believe that what Caleb declared kept him alive all of those 40 years. The man went into the land when he was 75. And he said, listen, give me that hill. I'm just as strong as when I was 35. What? The word he proclaimed kept him alive. Kept him young, kept him vibrant, kept him going. And gave him life. And the words of those who are negative died in the wilderness. Be careful what you say. Stop saying, well, this headache is going to kill me. Why you want to die from a headache? This headache is going to kill me. All these kids around, you're driving me crazy. Stop declaring those things and giving the enemy a chance to work in your life. Because when you declare it, the enemy is like, you're giving me permission not to bring that to pass. Why not declare the good things? Why not declare, I shall live to see my children and grandchildren serve God? Why not proclaim the positive things about God's word? Why declare the negative things? Why declare, well, there's a storm coming, I think it's going to blow down my house. Why do you want to declare that? Why don't you declare that I'm going to be safe in the midst of whatever storms that come my way? Declare the truth of God's word. I'd rather declare God's word and be living to see it come to pass and just declare something negative and die because of what I've said. So it is so important what we say. Power of life and death are in the tongue. It's not just, well, I don't care whatever I say. No, you need to be careful. Be careful what you profess about yourself. Because I believe God responds to words of faith. Jesus, let me mention that one. In John 6:63, Jesus says, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. That's what Christ said. The words that he spoke are spirit and life. They change people's life and circumstances. And you and I, we have been called to operate like Christ. And so I believe he's saying that you and I, as disciples of Christ, the things that we say should be things that allow the Spirit of God to work in the people's life and to bring about life. And I think I've shared this before, that even though the Spirit of God is moving, we still need to sometimes proclaim things so that the Spirit of God can bring them to pass. That's how God functioned in creation in Genesis 1. It says the Spirit of God has moved upon the face of the deep. But yes, it was moving, but God still had to speak. And when God spoke, creation came into existence. And so you and I, the Spirit of God might be moving, but we still need to speak and proclaim the truth of what God wants to have occur and see it come into existence. Or you can proclaim negative things and allow the devil to bring it into existence. You can keep proclaiming, well, this country is going into ruin. Oh, yes, we're entering into another depression. You can keep proclaiming those things. And you know what? You will experience it, but I'm not going to experience it. Because what? I'm going to experience what I am confessing. Amen. So if you want bankruptcy, keep on proclaiming it. But I'm proclaiming success. I'm proclaiming prosperity. I'm proclaiming God's provision. Because Paul says what? My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. And so that's what is my confession. And that's what I'm believing God for. And I'm believing that those who are related to me will experience the blessings of God because of my relationship with Almighty God. So God responds to words of faith. In Mark 11, Mark says, if you would say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and not doubt in your heart, God is going to bring it to pass. So yes, there's a big mountain in front of me. What am I going to confess? Oh Lord, there's a big mountain. Oh Lord, my life has come to an end. What am I going to do? No, I'm going to speak to the mountain and say, mountain, get out of my way. Mountain, you don't understand. You're standing in the midst. You're preventing me from fulfilling God's will and God's purposes. Get out of my way. And I believe that by as I speak God's word, it releases the Spirit of God to fulfill the things I've confessed and proclaimed. So there's a power in our tongue to produce life or death. I put here in the notes that praise creates an atmosphere for miracles. Praise as we worship God, as we declare the good things about who God is. And praise, as we all know, is not limited just to a Sunday morning meeting. Praise, as we sang earlier, should always be upon our lips. And it creates an atmosphere. The psalmist says that God inhabits the praises of his people. When we praise God, he comes down and his presence is there to fulfill his will and his purposes. It creates an atmosphere. In the same way in which negative confession creates an atmosphere of depression, of hopelessness. The positive is true. As we worship and declare the goodness of God, it something happens. The darkness flees and the presence of God comes in. If you want your house to be full of the peace of God, play music that elevates the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you want your house to be dark, then pray all sort of negative stuff that talks about how bad and evil people are and see if you don't get more spirits in coming and visiting you in your house. I'd rather have the Spirit of God resting upon me at night than to have the enemy tormenting me through the night. So the scripture we have there is in 2 Chronicles where Joseph had sent forth before the army the worship team. And as the worship team went forth, the Bible says that the Lord allowed the enemy to have confusion amongst himself and to create enemies amongst themselves and to attack themselves and to destroy themselves. And the people of God didn't have to fight a battle. All they had to learn to do was to worship God. And it's the same, that was Old Testament. Can you imagine New Testament? If a church would just learn to worship God, if a church would learn to declare the good things about God, we would see more miracles being released. We would see Psalm 149 being fulfilled where the enemy is being bound with fetters of iron and the purpose of God being established. Proverbs 15, one of the scriptures my parents had me learn as a child. Verse 1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. Through the things we say, we can actually distill a situation or we can cause it to become worse. A gentle answer turns away wrath. People are angry, and just the way we respond can quiet down the circumstance, or we can make it worse. So our tongue has the ability to turn away strife. We all know through our tongue we have the ability to edify and encourage others, to speak the truth of God's word into their life. We have the ability to build their faith Because faith, the Bible says, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it doesn't have to be in a setting like this. It might just be while you're in Walmart, because you declare the truth of God's word, somebody hears it, and suddenly faith is built up in your heart. And so faith comes by hearing. So you and I need to realize that God uses us sometimes to declare his word, so faith can be built up into somebody else's heart, and even to my own heart. Sometimes as I declare God's word, I start out and I'm like, man, I don't feel so good. But I declare the truth. By his stripes, Lord, I'm healed. Lord, I thank you that Jesus Christ paid the price for my sin. And as I start to declare the truth of God's word, suddenly faith starts to rise up inside of me. And I say, yeah, that's true, Joe. And I start to believe it. And things change. We read several scriptures from the writer of Proverbs that says that from the mouth of the wise brings healing. The things we say can actually bring healing physically, emotionally, psychologically into the lives of people. A lot of people are going to therapists. What do you think the therapist is doing? Just talking. They're not doing anything else but talking. The very words we speak can bring healing into the life of other people. And sometimes we might not even know it. But as you reassure them, listen, that God has good plans for you. Listen, you're beautifully and wonderfully made. And you start to declare God's truth into their life. It somehow displaces some of the negative things that they've heard all their life. And brings healing to the inner man. That's one of the beauty, one of the advantages even in the schools that our teachers and administrators have. To speak positive words into the life of people around them, the life of students, and to see them their life change. We have seen it with our own children, with our own son. You know, he comes home and he has done well, but as we start to affirm him, man, you're smart. You're even doing better than I did. He started to see a smile break out on his face. And you know my son, he doesn't smile that much, but you start to see him smile, and he start to, just the affirmation makes a difference. And a lot of our children and people around us, they hear so much negative, so much bullying, and so much of these other negative things. If you and I would just reinforce the truth of who they are and the good things that God has planned for them, it might help them to deal with some of the negative things they're exposed to. The power, the positive power of the tongue, the impact and change the lives of others, to bring healing. A couple more things. Through the things we speak, we can proclaim victory and freedom into the lives of others. Just through words. A lot of times when Christ ministered, he just spoke a word and people came, got freedom. He just declared the truth of God's word with faith, and it made a difference. We can pronounce blessings rather than curses. We can release God's plans into the life of others. I'm going to ask Sean just to come on back. One scripture from Colossians. Colossians 4 and verse 6 says, let your conversation always be full of grace. Or in your American standard says, let your speech always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone. In other words, it's in Peter, it says it brings grace to the hearers. Paul says, the way we speak and the way we respond to people can actually bring a difference into their life, bring grace, can impact them, can cause them to experience things. Sometimes it might even be difficult things, but can help them to deal with it in an easier way. Graceful speech, I believe, brings glory and honor to God. And I believe it brings hope into the life of people. We can be vehicles of hope just by the things we say. Just by reminding people around us of how good God is and what God has in store. Just by reminding people that with God nothing is impossible. You don't have to be hopeless. You don't have to be down. Listen, God can make a difference. That's why, let us pray about this. Let us believe God for a change. Let us stand. Ephesians 4:29 says, Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. My lips, your lips, to become vehicles of God's word, vehicles of God's message to others, rather than to allow the devil to use us. Why not use my tongue to set somebody in the right direction? Set somebody in a place where they can receive from God. Why not use my tongue to perhaps change the destiny of somebody else? Let's just bow our heads. Maybe this morning there's somebody in this house. Maybe you have walked away from the Lord and you're saying, Joe Campbell, this morning I want to return to the Lord. I want to recommit my life to the Lord. I'm going to ask us to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody that needs to recommit themselves this morning to the Lord? And then I want to pray a prayer with us for our lips. I'm going to ask you to pray after me this prayer of affirmation to the Lord, yielding our lips to the Lord this morning. So pray after me. Father in heaven, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you that I'm a child of the King. And Father, I give you again this morning my lips. I ask you, God, to wash my lips with the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, may only positive things come forth from my lips. Lord, may I speak life and not death. Lord, may I speak blessing and not cursing. Lord, may I speak hope and not hopelessness. Lord, may I speak truth and not lies. Lord, I yield my lips to the Holy Spirit. Use my lips, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.